Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to have you here this morning. I hope that you have come to worship the Lord and now to be challenged by His word that never changes, but always has the opportunity to change us. So hopefully by now you're in Luke chapter 11. Before we get there, we're going to do our verse of the week, so we'll have that put up. And as always, would you stand with me? And then these are available in the back at the end of the service. We're going to do the reference, the verse, and then the reference. Would you say it with me? 1 John 4:15-16. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. 1 John 4:15-16. Thank you so much. That's available on social media, and that is available as you leave the sanctuary this morning. So glad you came. We're going to finish our mini-series in prayer, and then next week, Dr. Chris Nannigan will be here for the next 2 weeks for our missions conference. So I really want to invite you to come and hear from Dr. Chris as he talks about the importance of missions, not just internationally, but right outside your living room window. So great opportunity for you to come. So hopefully by now you're in Luke 11. If not, you've got about 30 seconds to get there. I want to talk about puzzles. Who here likes to put together puzzles? Great. I love me a good puzzle. Love it when we had girls that were younger and you had like the 10-piece puzzle. That was my kind of puzzle. Took me 5 minutes, and I walked away feeling really good about myself. I could put that puzzle together, and it was wonderful. Recently, well, probably about 2 years ago, maybe three, we went on vacation, and we were in the gift shop, and we saw this puzzle. We thought, what a great opportunity for us to put together a puzzle and spend family time together. What could possibly go wrong with five people sitting around the table putting together a 1,000-piece puzzle? Yeah, that went wrong. I'm not a patient person. I live in a society that I get everything instantaneously. I lasted about 20 minutes. I didn't get angry. I just got frustrated, because the pieces weren't fitting together. Now, some of you would say, oh, you don't know the right way to put together a puzzle. Oh, I'm just not patient enough to put together the puzzle. You see, because I know that you open up this puzzle, and the first thing you do is you find the corners, and then you find the edge, and you start putting that together, and then you have the middle. Well, about the middle, I start to lose interest, and I don't persist in putting together the puzzle. Maybe it's because you'd say, oh, you're from the generation that's always the Google generation. You get anything and everything in 20 seconds or less. But a puzzle of 1,000 pieces takes hours or days to put together. And I sat here studying this week, and I thought, you know what? Sometimes my prayer life is like this puzzle. I get discouraged and frustrated because it doesn't happen the way that I think it should happen. It doesn't go together as easily as I think it should go together. And sometimes I walk away frustrated with the puzzle never fully put together. So this morning, we're going to keep talking about this puzzle, and we're going to illustrate this puzzle throughout the day. If I put it like that, it's going to fall, and then we're going to have an opportunity to put a 1,000-piece puzzle together. Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8, as you think about this puzzle, because many times we pray, but we don't pray with persistence. We pray once, and we're done. We pray once, and God doesn't answer the way we should. We try to put two pieces together, and friends, they just don't go together. And so if you were a puzzle person, you say, that doesn't go there. I'll put that someplace else. So then you come and you get a different puzzle piece and go, oh, those two go together with this one. But ultimately what happens, we look at the cover and we know the picture that we're trying to put together. This morning, the picture that we're trying to put together is to live in accordance with God and His Word, because He has told us what He wants in His Word. Sometimes we pray, and we pray trying to put the wrong pieces together. All right, Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8. We're talking about persistence in prayer. Jesus is going to tell a story. Are you there? Luke chapter 11. So He said to them, suppose one of you, so if you really are tracking with what is happening in this story, in verses 1 through 4, Jesus has told His disciples how to pray because they've asked Him, Jesus, teach me to pray. So Jesus tells them in verses 1 through 4, Father, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, forgive us of our sins, and forgive us as we have forgiven everyone who is indebted into us. And do not lead us into temptation. He comes from that and He goes right into this story. And He says, suppose one of you has a friend. Jesus always illustrates a biblical truth by a principle, by a story, by an object. I just did that to you. Did you realize what I did? I hope that when you put together a puzzle, that you'll remember that your puzzle is a lot like your prayer. You got to stay persistent. You've got to keep the course. And you've got to look at the instructions to put it together. So Jesus says, hey, I want to tell you a story. The story is this. A friend goes to him at midnight. Now, a person in biblical times, they went to bed when the sun went down and they got up when the sun got up. So for someone to come at midnight would be to come in the middle of the night. They have woken you out of 3, 4, maybe even 5 hours of sleep. And he comes at midnight and he says to him, friend, I need some help. Would you lend me 3 loaves? Now, some of you Bible scholars, I want to go really deep and just look at how Jesus has illustrated this. He talks to them about bread. What did he say in verse 3 of John chapter 11? Give us each day our daily bread. So Jesus has told him how to preach or how to pray, and then he's telling them this story about 3 loaves of bread. What a great way that Jesus has given us biblical truth on how to pray, and now he's illustrating it with a story on the persistence of prayer. He says, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. People in Israel in biblical times, they would travel at night. They would travel for 2 or 3 main reasons. The first reason is it would beat the heat. Easier to travel at night than during the day. Second reason is they would travel at night because there was less traffic and less opportunity for you to encounter bandits because they would be sleeping as well. You could move more under the cover of darkness. So these guys are in their travels, and they come to this home, and they knock at midnight, and they have a problem. They're hungry. Their host has nothing to offer them. They don't have a Hannaford. They don't have a Tim Hortons. They don't have a 7-Eleven or whatever you would prefer, an Irving, that they can go to the store and pick them something up. They have visitors and nothing to offer them. Hospitality was so very, very important in biblical times. You show up and you have nothing to offer them. This causes him angst. I have nothing to set before him. So he has a need. I need bread. So from the inside, he answers and starts knocking on this door. He says to him, go away. Stop bothering me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I possibly cannot get up to give you anything. We need to understand how a biblical home or a home in Jesus' time was. It was a one-room building. All right, 2 stories. The top story would be the pantry, what we would call today's pantry. The bottom floor, here would be the door, that it would be bolted, and it would be bolted with heavy locks or some kind of slide or some kind of board that maybe you have seen on Little House in the Prairie, something along those lines. No knob on the outside, only accessible from the inside. So you'd walk in, and this is the living room, this is the dining room, this is the family room, this is the bedroom. You had one room to sleep in. Everybody slept in the same room. Some scholars even say on the same mat or mattress. And they would sleep that way for two reasons. Number one, protection. Number two, for warmth. So they would all be together, so the door is locked and someone starts knocking. Well, this guy just can't get up and get the door. He's going to disturb his family that is right in this area, and the knocking's coming from right here. So he says to the guy, go back and look what he says in Scripture. Go away. Don't bother me. The door has already been shut. I have secured my home for the evening. It is latched, and it is latched loudly. If I unlatch that, it's going to disturb my family that is sleeping here, and you're going to wake us up. The first rule of parenting, don't wake the kids. Second rule of parenting, don't wake the teenager. It's not good, especially at midnight. So he says, go away. You're bothering me. I cannot get up and get you anything without what? Without disturbing my whole family. So, I tell you, Jesus says, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, Jesus is telling him a story about prayer. This guy that he's gone, the neighbor has gone to him saying, I need help. I need help. Would you help me? And the neighbor looks at him and says, you're not close enough to me for me to give you anything. But look at what Jesus says. He's not going to get up because he's his friend. Yet because of his persistence, he will not stop knocking. You ever try to sleep and there's that bird? You ever try to sleep and there's that dog that just won't stop barking? This guy is knocking on that door. Hey, you have something I need. I have the need. You have the ability. I'm not going to stop knocking until you answer the door. And Jesus says, the guy gets what he needs, not because of his friendship, but because of his persistence. And I would submit to you this morning, friends, we have our life together in prayer. But we're not persistent in prayer because we give up too quickly. We give up too easily. We live our lives discouraged. Because why? Because these three pieces won't go together. So we say, forget the whole thing. How many times have you put together a puzzle and went, yeah, that doesn't fit. It must go somewhere else. And you move on to the next piece. Jesus says, this guy is going to get what he wants, not because of the relational equity of friendship, but because he won't stop asking. That's the story. Now, what's the promise of prayer? Verses 9 through 13. Let's look at verses 9 through 13. So Jesus says, so I say to you, look at the authority of which Jesus is speaking. In my mind's eye, Jesus, if you go back to verse 1, Jesus is off praying. He's far enough that either they hear him, but we know they see him. He comes back, the disciples look at him and say, Jesus, teach us to pray. So whether they're sitting down or they're standing there, Jesus has told them, you pray this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Forgive us of our sins, forgive us of our debts. Don't lead me into temptation. And then he tells them this story that they've all understood, they all would commiserate with. They would all understand. And then he turns to them, he says, hey, listen, here comes the truth. And you can almost see the disciples getting out their notepad and their ears perking up. And they're going, okay, we're listening. Because we've gone from truth to story to truth. So Jesus is saying, so I say this. Look, underline this, the authority of Jesus' words. He says to him, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. I need to help. I need to understand what this means in the Greek, and we need to change it. We need to change it because it doesn't come through in the English language. It should say, so I say to you, asking and it will be given to you. Seeking and you will find. Knocking and it will be open to you. There's a continual asking. There's a continual seeking. There's a continual knocking. We have this puzzle that we're trying to put together and we continue to look. Does this piece go here? No, it doesn't. Does this piece go here? No, it doesn't. Does this piece go here? Well, yes, it does. We continue to look. We continue to ask because we have need. We continue to seek to have that need met, and we continue to knock on the door of God's gates because we know that He's the one that can answer that request. Sometimes, though, we pray the wrong way. Again, I get frustrated. I'm not a patient person when it comes to puzzles. So sometimes in my frustration, I'll take a piece and I'll look at this and I'm going, this will fit in here to the glory, honor, and love of Jesus. Honey, get me the mallet. And I pound it, I'm being facetious. I pound it in here and I go, see? It works. Sometimes that's what we do with God. This is how it has to be. And sometimes we forget what we're praying for. I would love to stand up here and preach prosperity gospel to you. You just pray and God will provide it. You keep praying for that cherry red convertible that has a snowplow attachment to it. That's going to bring glory and honor to Jesus. Just pray that and it will be given to you. That doesn't make God God, friends. That makes God a genie. And Billy Graham said it this way one time. He said, God has promised to supply all of our needs, but He's never promised to supply all of our greed. And as you look at this story that Jesus told to His disciples, notice what the guy asks for. He asks for bread. If you will, the basic necessity, something that is very easily gotten. He doesn't go to the guy and say, hey, I've got friends coming into town. You got any leg of lamb laying around in the fridge? You got any asparagus, roasted potatoes with a hint of garlic, extra butter, with some strawberry shortcake on the side? He goes to him and says, do you have any bread? And I really want to turn a corner on this, friends, and ask you, when you're praying, are you praying for your daily needs, or are you praying for God to supply your greed? Because we see this puzzle. And we want this piece to fit into here because that's what I want. And yet God, the master designer of life, says this piece does not belong here. It belongs over here. And I wonder this morning, when you pray, are you praying, give me my needs or give me my greeds? Another commentator, he put it this way. He says, persistence in prayer is not an attempt to change God's mind, but to get ourselves to the place where God can trust us with the answer. We have this master view of what this puzzle should look like. Right now, it's in 1,000 pieces. And I try to put this puzzle together going, this is brown and this is brown. It has to go there. But many times in my life, friends, this puzzle does not go here. It goes over here. And I'm so glad I have taken the time to put this piece where it belongs because it fits the puzzle. If I take my mallet and I put this piece onto here, then the puzzle down here doesn't look right. I could put this puzzle together in 3 minutes. Guaranteed. Guarantee it. First of all, I won't have a puzzle left. Second of all, it won't be what the creator of the puzzle intended it to be. And when it comes to prayer, God is saying that's not the right puzzle piece in the right place for the right design. And what are we praying through? We're praying through God's word, who we believe and what we believe. This is God's master design. And we need to pray that way. So he says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. So you can go home and just realize that God's going to give you every request if you continue to ask and then continue to seek and continue to knock. I want to take you back to the context. It is so very, very important context. What did Jesus teach us last week? Look at verses 1 through 4. We have a week between the verses, but it's rolling right through. Jesus taught us how to pray. Pray, Father, hallowed be your name. What's verse 2 say? Your kingdom come. When I pray, I don't pray, God, this is how the puzzle should go. I pray, God, how do I put the puzzle together? And so if you hear of someone that tells you just pray this way or pray that way and everything's going to be okay, run from them. Because the context is teaching us that we need to pray for God's will to be done, not for your will to be done. Because God has created the master picture that we are praying our way through. It's found in his word. Now, some of you are saying, yeah, I know. But where else can I go? Because I pray and I do not receive. I seek and I do not find, and I knock and it won't be open. Well, I would take you to James chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and you do not receive. Yes, I have. Why? Because you ask with the wrong motives. Now, you and I are pretty good at this. We can hide. I would even dare say maybe manipulate the situation. But we are opening ourselves up to the maker of heaven and earth. And he sees the heart. And as much as we want to try to get this cherry red convertible, God says that's asking for the wrong motives. You ask with the wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Hey, this piece does not go here. You can't make it fit. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so if you're praying and asking a heart question, which is also a hard question to ask, is, are you asking with the right motives? Because this verse back in Luke chapter 11 gets taken out of context so much. And we want to continue to remember to seek the Lord's will. So let's go back to Luke chapter 11, verse 11. Now he turns and says another story. He says, now suppose one of you fathers, so he's talking to a group of guys, the disciples and others that have gathered around, asked by his son for a fish. Hey, Dad, I'm hungry. Can you give me a fish? Will he not give him a snake instead of a fish? Well, if you're with me, you know, I have a favorite snake. You know what a favorite snake of mine is? A dead one, to the glory and honor of Jesus. Okay? But he says, hey, listen, if your son is hungry and he wants a fish, you're not going to give him a snake, are you? Or if he asks for an egg, I think of a chicken egg. If he asks for an egg, will he not give him a scorpion? I've never seen a scorpion in Maine. Thank you, Jesus. But I had to do some research on this. And a baby scorpion, when it's first born, it puts itself into a ball and it's white. And it looks like an egg. So Jesus goes from biblical truth, story, biblical truth. Now he's bringing in a story. Now he's asking them this question. Hey, your son's hungry, and he wants a fish. You wouldn't give him a snake, would you? No! No good father wants to hurt his kids when he's asking for provision, either with a fish or with an egg. He's not going to give him a snake or a scorpion. So Jesus says, if you then, being evil, looks at the crowd, hey, you, being evil, full of sin, you who are broken. And we don't like to talk about that. That doesn't fit well with our society, but we are broken. As fathers, we are full of evil and full of sin. But look at what he says. But you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. I would hope that my girls would come and say, you know what, Dad? You're a good dad because you give us good stuff. And then you can ask them and say, but is he full of evil? You know what they'll say? Yep. And Jesus looks at the audience. He says, you guys, being full of sin, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father? Well, look at what he taught us in verse 3. Actually, verse 4 in Luke chapter 11. And forgive us of our sins. We don't pray and have a relationship with a God who is full of sin. We have a relationship with our Heavenly Father that is perfect. He does not know sin. He is holy. He is without blame or blemish. And Jesus, look at what he does, friends. Don't miss this. He looks at the audience and says, hey, you guys, you all love your kids, right? Yeah, we love our kids. Will you give good gifts to them? Yes, we would. But you're full of sin. Yes, we are. And look at what he does to turn the tide. Look, someone says, you're praying to your heavenly Father who is perfect. Wow. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? What is the role of the Holy Spirit? Your homework is John 14 through John 16. Read that. The Holy Spirit, he comes to guide us into all truth. He leads us into all truth. He convicts us of our sin. He brings comfort. He brings peace to us. There is so much that the Holy Spirit does. Jesus turns and says, you that are full of sin and evil, you give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God is not going to withhold when we put the puzzle pieces together according to his plan, which is the Word of God. So the question I have for you this morning is, prayer can change your outlook. One author and commentary said, prayer changes the person who prays. Prayer changes the person who prays. So what are the four things that our outlook can change because we're praying? The first one is, prayer is communication with my heavenly Father. Prayer is an opportunity for me to talk to him. This is a relationship. Friends, this is not a religion. This is a relationship. Think about your relationship, your closest relationship, whether it's your husband or your wife, whether it's your kids, whether it's your parents, whether it's your neighbor, your best friend. How good is that relationship? You would say, it's really good. We're in close communication. Maybe some of you would say, my closest relationship right now, it is strained because we're not having good communication. Remember, prayer is communication with your heavenly Father. It's your dad that's in heaven. God's word that you hold in your laps or on your phone is God speaking to us. Prayer is me talking to God. It's that relationship. So the first question I would ask you this morning is, how is your relationship with God? Is it active? Is it passive? Is it struggling? Or is it thriving? Maybe you are here and you don't have that relationship with the Lord at all. You don't know him as Dad. You don't know him as your Father who lives in heaven. Well, this morning can be the morning that you begin your relationship with your heavenly Father. And if that's the need that you come with this morning, we're going to have our pastors in the back. And they would love to talk to you this morning about how to have that relationship with Him. So the first thing is, it's communication with our Heavenly Father. The second one is, we learn patience as we rely upon the Lord. You sit down at this table, you have this beautiful picture, and you have all of these pieces. And if you are a puzzle person, you realize it does not take 5 minutes to put together a 1,000-piece puzzle. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes patience. It takes a lot of patience. And you look at the puzzle and you look at the piece and go, well, that's brown and this is red. That can't go there. Put it down and find the red piece. That doesn't go there. That's a light red. This is a dark red. It takes patience. It takes patience as we learn to rely upon the Lord. As Jesus told this story, when the guy got out of bed, he had to get up without disturbing his family, had to turn on the lantern, had to find the door, had to unlock the door, had to quietly unopen the door to go find the bread in the kitchen. It takes time. Prayer takes time. But yet, as we live in 2021, it takes patience. And we're not a patient people. If our Google search takes more than 0.0001 second, we move on. In prayer, it takes time. Are you willing to be patient as you put together this puzzle according to God's word? As we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. The third thing is we draw close to God as we wait for His response. As you put together this puzzle, this box is right there on the table. You can't get too far from it or you don't know the picture. This week, one of my beautiful ladies, they asked me for some money. They came to the bank of Dad. I told them the bank was closed and they said, that's not good, Dad. Can we borrow some money? And I said, what do you think I said? I said, if you're going to borrow money, that means I'm getting it back. Dad, Dad. Just like that too. That's great. And I said, I don't know. And I walked away. And you know what happened? They followed. I walked over here and they followed. And I walked over here and they followed. Dad, do you have money? And they said, please don't give us the Uruguayan money again, because I have money from Uruguay. They don't like that. But it was kind of fun. And it brought me to this thing, brought me to this point. My girls, when they need something, they're really close. So I kind of like to torment them sometimes, just so they'll stay close to me. I kind of like having you around. Let me think about this. Is there a hug involved in this at all? Dad. Now I'm full of evil and I'm full of sin. But wouldn't the same thing happen with God? As we pray, we draw close to the Lord. Hey, what's your answer? What's your answer? What's your answer? That guy that's knocking on the door looking for bread, he's not going to knock and walk away, is he? He's going to knock and stay there because he knows that house has what he needs and he's not going far. How about you? When you pray, you draw close to the Lord and you wait for his response. Final one, we rely upon God to open the door. That guy that's knocking on the door, he knows that house has the bread that he needs. He knows that he cannot open that door. That door can only be unlatched from the inside, from the owner of the home. And yet we sit here and say, God, you have a master plan. You have a master design, and I need to rely upon you and your word to help me put together the pieces as I pray to you. And our fourth outlook is when I rely upon God to open the door. Lord, I can't do this. There's no latch on the outside. You have to be the one to open the door. Power and prayer. Prayer changes the person. praise. Let's be a people that lean in saying, I want to put this puzzle together, but I want to put it together according to your word, Lord. Help me put together this puzzle, because ultimately, you are the maker of heaven and earth. You are my heavenly Father. Let's bow in a word of prayer. As you close your Bibles and as you get ready to go, I don't want to miss a moment to pray for you as your pastor. Is there anybody here this morning? By the way, I won't call you out. I won't make you come forward. I just want to pray for you. Is there anybody here this morning that would say to me, just slip your hand up. Hey, Tom, I don't have that relationship with the Lord. I don't know him as my heavenly Father. Is there anybody here? Just slip your hand up. I won't embarrass you. I just want to make sure that I talk to you, because I want to make sure you leave here knowing the maker of heaven and earth. Is there anybody here? Is there anybody here that would say to me this morning, hey, you know, my relationship with my dad in heaven, it's strained. I haven't been talking to him. I haven't been spending much time with him. Would you pray for me that I can begin to strengthen that relationship? Thank you. I see that one hand. Two hands. Is there anybody here that says, would you pray for me? Because I'm not a patient person. We're the same on that, Tom, and I need to learn patience in prayer. Would you pray for me that I would learn patience? I see that one hand. Two, three, four, five. Is there anybody here that says, Tom, would you pray for me? Because I want to draw close to the Lord. I want to draw close to him and his word as I wait for that answer. Would you pray that my relationship would grow stronger as I grow closer to the Lord? Would you pray for me this week? I see that one, two, three, four, five. Looks like six, seven, eight. Is there anybody that says, would you pray for me? I'm waiting on God. And God is seldom early, but he's never late. But it seems like he's running a tad bit behind schedule. Help me to rely upon the Lord in his time. I see that one hand. Two, three, four. Lord, I'm so thankful for your word. For the privilege and the opportunity we have to come and sing praises unto you. There will be a day when we will shout the anthem of heaven. And then we sang, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, we need you. And as we come out of this passage on the power of prayer, it's about a relationship. And I pray if there's anybody here this morning, either in person or online, that they do not have that relationship with you as their heavenly Father, that this morning will be the morning that they begin that relationship with you. And if there's one here that would admit, oh, it's strained, I haven't been spending time with him, I pray this morning would be the morning that relationship was strengthened. Pray for those that are learning patience. It's not easy to be patient. But I pray that we would be patient, especially those that have expressed that desire with the uplifted hand. Help us to wait on your timing. Lord, you are seldom early, but you're never late. Help us to wait upon you. Lord, help us to draw close to you. Help those that want that relationship with you. They desire that. They crave that. That they would draw close to you as they wait for that answer. Oh, Lord, bring us into that relationship and keep us so close with you. And Lord, help us to rely upon you. That you're the one that can open the door. You're the only one on the inside of the house that can open the door. Help us to rely upon you. We're so thankful for your word and for the challenge that you've given us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Tom, for sharing over these past 2 weeks on prayer. And, you know, If this is just kind of an intellectual transfer thing in terms of prayer, where you just hear about prayer for 2 weeks and then you just go home, it really does nothing, does it? We need to practice prayer. And we have the step to do that. If you need prayer or would like to pray for other people, we have our Acts 1:14 prayer group meets in Pastor Tom's office. We'd love for you to come. And know that also the pastors are in the back. We'd love to pray for you and know what's going on in your life. And also, we just love to pray for you. So let me pray for you. If you guys can stand one more time, and we'll close in a last word of prayer. God, thank you so much for everyone here, both in person, online. God, you have set up the world as big as you are to be dependent on you. And the way that we're dependent on you is asking you of our lives in terms of what to do and what to say and all the situations, problems. And God, we often try so hard to just fix it on our own, and we very little come to you. God, let us be known as persistent prayers that cling to a promise, and that promise is that your Son died for us that we might live. That is the hope that we have, and that is the promise we have. Let us cling to you every day, and let us evaluate over these past 2 weeks, let us evaluate in the weeks to come how we've been praying to you. Have we been praying just out of selfish ambition, or has it been God-focused, God-centric, where we say, thy will be done. God, help us be people that cling to you, your word, and ultimately in relationship through prayer. God, we love you, we thank you. It's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.